hour number 12. Thank you for joining me for pre- and post-marriage counseling. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. Thank you so much. Imagine how men might be in a world with fewer obstacles and more support. What would it be if we eliminated the negative images that have been created by people over the years, not only in the minds of people outside of our racial extraction, but tragically in our own minds as well? Listen to this. Here's a statement making a definition towards loving each other. A lover of life and all that is beautiful, one who is constantly growing and one who learns from their mistakes, a challenger of the known and the unknown, the first to admit that he does not know as he seeks to find out. This is one that is able to solicit the best out of self and out of others, soft and strong, not afraid to take the lead, a creative father, organized and an organizer, a brother of brothers, a brother to sisters, understanding, patient, a winner, maintaining of everything that they can, that I must, that I will attitudes towards the struggle of life within the community that they live in, a builder of the necessary, always and always in a process of growth, and without a doubt believes that their values and traditions are not negotiable. Boy, that's a great sentence right there. One from Haki R. Mahudipi, who is a poet and an essayist, and I just changed a few words to make it a little bit more relevant for my audience. Now, you know, we've already spoken about a few things, and I'm gonna quote from a great little book that I have in my library, Friends, Lovers, and Soulmates, A Guide to Better Relationships Between Men and Women, more specifically, Black men and Black women, as we try to keep our marriages intact, as we listen to these 20 hours of marriage counseling. You know, I love this particular book because what the book did is it allowed me to really take a very good look at the life that I live with my wife, and then as I weigh or judge others in how they live their lives, you know, I just take a good look and I say, wow, you know, the struggle ought to be a healthy one, a healthy struggle. You know, when you look at the finances that we have to go through, the ice cream man just went by the Lucy Coleman studio prior to me recording this 12th hour. And I went out, and it's not as hot as it was yesterday, but it's still kind of warm. About 83, 84 degrees here in the studio right now. And bought a couple of big sticks, if you know what those are. And the ice cream man, who's Hispanic, said, man, things are rough. And I gave him a little extra. I said, we appreciate you coming by the neighborhood, cooling us off in the evenings. But as I kind of tipped him a little bit, and the only reason that I was able to do that is because yesterday was payday. And so I had a little extra. And when I have a little extra, I always think about others. That's assisting in the struggle. You see, as everybody in our society grapples with disappointments, frustrations, and sometimes the anguish that's a part of life, they strive not to displace anger to those that they love. When the economy gets rough, when the situation looks like it's about to implode or explode or to collapse, you're apt to lose your patience with the other person. I received a great email from a dear son of mine, and he was telling me about an incident that took place in the house next to where he lives. The married couple were going at it. They were really going at it, cursing each other out. And as he pointed out to me, even the children heard. Well, they heard. And I think it's a prime example for us as Christians to realize that since we're married and since we profess to be Christians, that we are obligated to really look at that significant other person that is with us, and we're to put forth some internal fortitude that helps us avoid this demoralized disposition that we see most of society falling into. I believe that learning how to communicate effectively and how to compromise fairly is a lifelong process, especially between husbands and wives. Now, when I'm talking about compromise, I'm not talking about I'm not talking about compromising yourself. I'm talking about compromising in terms of what's better for the relationship. As the economy gets worse and worse, as money gets thinner and thinner, you're going to have to compromise. Okay, if she's not able to subscribe to the magazines that she used to subscribe to, well then, Daddy, you're no longer able to have the sports channel. See what I'm talking about? You're going to have to cut the cable off. What is that cable? About $108 a month? And you need about $100 a month? Okay, first thing you do is cut off the cable. You don't need television. Then you look at something else that you can cut down on. I don't want to cut off mine. Why do I have to cut mine off and you're not cutting yours off? No, come on, come into that. Even at moments when it feels safer to keep your thoughts to yourself, love demands a certain candor. You know, if the person really frustrates you and you feel like going off, come on. Just say, it's not worth that. A car just went by. Obviously, one of the belts under the engine is ready to pop. I don't know the financial situation of the person that just drove the car, but I do know this. Sounds like a serious problem to me, and it's going to cost them in the future. Candor. When the family was planning an outing, and you got to take the outing money and fix the car so that you can go to work, it's how you say that. One element in a fully together relationship that you have in common is it not to place in which, you know, that relationship is not a place in which one hides. Rather, it is a place in which everything must be revealed between the married couples. I find a lot of times married couples are hiding from each other. If there's one single message that you want to convey, it's that intimacy is impossible when communication is blocked. Intimacy flourishes when communication flows smoothly. Genuine people that love each other, these genuine soulmates, spend most of their energy engaged in productive struggle and not in hurting battles. This is something that I think we have to get out of our minds as couples in inner city communities. And maybe you're not living in an inner city community. Maybe you're living in a community where the money is flowing, where the jobs are there and everything is working beautifully, but there is yet conflict going on. I would also say that each of us have to accept responsibility for our own growth. It's not about the growth of your partner. It's about your own growth. Are you growing? Are you that person within the relationship that can really say that you've put forth some growth since you've been involved? We also try to instill hope and to serve as a role model for people wondering whether to take the risk of making changes. You see, because your marriage relationship, as you go through your trials and your tribulation, people are now, especially if you are an older couple, people are looking to you as an older Christian couple for survival tactics. Well, let me see how they survive. It's one of the tactics that I teach men, and I tell men, you only make a statement once. You don't have to repeat it. Your wives are very, very smart. As a matter of fact, some of the ladies are far brighter than we men are. And you'd be surprised how smart they are. They heard you the first time. You don't have to repeat it and raise your voice. So as you're striving for this unique intimacy between the husband and the wife, remember the following commandments and honor them best that you can. Do some of the work yourself. See, don't put all of the work on her, guys. I mean, it's a joint relationship. Whereas each particular person within the relationship has a duty to perform. But you got to do some of the work yourself. The path towards intimacy begins with an honest look at yourself. It's easy to become so caught up in the struggles of daily life that you sometimes forget to reflect fully upon who you are and how you got that way. Are you that way because your mom and dad caused you to be that way? Are you that way because of the foster parents that raised you? Are you that way because you were abused? Periods of introspection and self-assessment are crucial for the personal development of any individual that is going to inevitably turn out to be a progressive individual in a relationship with any other individual. Look at yourself. It's very important. The more you understand your own strength as well as your own weaknesses, your likes and your dislikes, your values and your visions, or if you don't have values or don't have appropriate visions, the greater the insights that you will gain into others. That's what makes you kind of like a full, rounded out individual. Guys, you really need to pay attention to this. And you know, a lot of guys say to me, they say, John, I wish that I were like you. And I tell them, well, go ahead. I'm just introspectively looking at myself. Why do I respond this way? I know one guy, and his ex that he divorced wants to get back with him. And he doesn't want to get back with her because he won't take an introspective look at himself. She obviously has. She's ready to admit her mistakes. He won't admit one of his. See, when you keep God first in your life, this allows you to love yourself, and this will enable you to love others also. See, if there's no God in your life, well, then you're going to hate who you are. You're going to see yourself as a sublime failure instead of one that is divinely constituted a life to win. There's an old statement in the African-American community, keep your eyes on the prize, right? Well, you have to be convinced that finding and stimulating a relationship is a worthwhile pursuit. Keep your eyes on the prize. Why did you marry the gal? Why did you marry the guy? Believe in yourself and believe in that human ability to control your own destiny and to resolve conflicts. You can do that. You don't need a psychologist. You don't need your parents. You don't need other insights from friends. God created you with the ability to work out a lot of things that are happening in your life. Stay focused on your own self and your mutual nourishing bond. You know, Lucy and I did that for years. We didn't. Whenever we had disagreements, her parents were in the Philippines on the other side of the world. My mom was dead and my dad, heck. That's what I said. I said heck. I didn't curse. Heck. He ain't the dude that I'd go to resolve marital conflict. Trust me, he wasn't. And, you know, there's another cliche that we use, try a little tenderness. In other words, whenever you're dating somebody casually or celebrating a golden anniversary, you never stop respecting your partner. Be gentle with each other. When you dated her, you were gentle with her. Weren't you guys when you're trying to get that first kiss? Oh, come on, girl. Come on, girl. Come on, girl. Come on, girl. Well, she's the same girl. Maybe she put on a few pounds. Maybe something has changed the situation. But she's the same person living in that body. Same thing for you ladies. Look at him. Same guy that you fell in love with. Same person. See, a loving relationship between true spiritual soulmates is not a place to be adversarial. They're not the adversary. You're not in a game contest to see which one is going to win out. No, it's not like that. Believe in each other. Offer each other a definite supporting hand, not a critical eye every time you look around. You do this wrong. You do that wrong. You do this wrong. You do that wrong. You never do this. You always do that. You make me sick. You make me want to throw up. Y'all know how it is. Happens all the time. And most of the time when it happens, people, you know, nah. Look for common ground within that relationship that you have with the other person. In other words, try to bend in your relationships. Flexibility and the willingness to emphasize similarities rather than differences are essential ingredients of conflict resolution, especially within the wedding relationship. I'm quoting words from a book, Friends and Lovers and Soulmates, by Derek S. Hobson, Ph.D., and he married Darlene Powell Hobson, Ph.D. I don't think they're Christians. I don't think that the book emphasizes that, but they have some very wonderful points on practical ways to raise children and to grow up in this rainbow generation that we are living in a multicultural society. It is a secular book. But I have used some of its points for years in attempting to dissuade people from battling each other. It's a great little book. If you can pick it up out there, it will give you wonderful insights. But note this, if you pick it up, it is not a Christian text, but it's a practical text. So look for that common ground. Also, let the flames burn on. At times, the fire that fuels your love may die down to a spark, and life situation is going to make that happen. The children coming. You know, guys, you're not going to be with her like you wanted to be with her before, though the child is the offshoot of that wonderful relationship. But you have to be mindful about adding new logs to that fire from time to time so that the flame will never be extinguished. Some guys want the fire of passion and love to go out after you married her. You say, well, I made a mistake. Mm-mm. Hold on, I want to read something to you. You're gonna love this. Hold on. I went to the mailbox and I received a card in the mailbox today and some pictures. And it says, thank you very much. I want to read the card to you. And I'm going to show you the picture of the couple and their children. Pastor John, and this was written to me on 9/25/08. We just want to thank you for who you are in Christ. Your love for God's people is reflected in all that you do. You mean so much for our family. Our family has grown so much from listening to you as you teach from God's holy word. Here are some pictures of our entire family. I pray that these pictures will be a blessing to you. We will send you more pictures as soon as we can. We love you, PJ, Carrie Barr, and family. Vancouver, Washington. And then he says, look at the back of the pictures. Each picture has a story to tell. Carrie and Kyra are two wonderful people, and I want you to keep them lifted up in prayer. They're currently, as I'm doing this webcast, in the processes of looking for another place to live. Their home is in foreclosure. They will most likely lose it. They are like many other Americans in this country that is not able to retain their home. And I'm looking at a picture of Carrie holding one of his children.